Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, the reason that all of the other podcasts exist. How are you guys doing? As ever, and since day one, I am joined by my trusty steeds. On my left, Matt Hanney. How are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Once again, just excited to be here.
Great to be here. And there he is, the most negative man in Scottish rugby, Alan Little.
Hello.
How are things? You okay?
Good. So we're not the only podcast that cares about Scottish rugby now.
I don't know. People are...
No one can prove that, actually.
So people are out there caring, I think. It's hard to say the SRU don't care about Scottish rugby. I think we've got to that stage.
It might be in their mission statement.
We need a new strapline, so please do get in touch with us and let us know. How about on Twitter, at Thistle Rugby Pod, or on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, or slide into those emails, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Okay, plenty going on. We're going to have a quick look through some news. There's actually been quite a lot going on, including a lot of very bad injury news for Scotland. Matt is going to run us through the Tennent's Premiership results. We're going to look back at very exciting results for Edinburgh and Glasgow at the weekend and progression into the quarterfinals, and then look ahead to the daily grind, the real bread and butter that keeps us going all year round, the Pro 14, and preview those games for the weekend. We're going to save a lot of our Six Nations chat for a preview next week ahead of the Italy game, so come back and join us then. Should we kick off some news, lads? How about some bad news? Hamish Watson, hand injury, looks like he's going to be out for... Well, there's been conflicting reports, at least the sort of first couple games, but maybe an opportunity to be back at the end of a tournament. How big an impact is that for Scotland?
Yeah, it's a really big loss. It's such a shame. He's obviously been playing so well this season, and for both Edinburgh and Scotland. You know, hopefully you see him back, but it's just whether if you miss that amount of time, you can get back to sort of full fitness, and even, you know, that Italy game would get him a chance to get up to speed with international rugby, so it's a shitter.
I guess at least you can still do cardio work with a broken hand.
Yeah, it's true.
So hopefully shouldn't get too off the pace.
Mm.
He looked quite chirpy on the sidelines. He obviously like wasn't in that much pain.
Adrenaline and everything, I imagine.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I think especially with John Barkley being out, I think apart from McAnally, that was probably the injury that would have the biggest impact, I think, on that Scotland team.
Yeah, I think if we ever lose McAnally, we're in all kinds of trouble. Although... Glasgow's Instagram, there was a photo of Fraser Brown running again, so, you know, he might be coming back anytime soon.
Pray for Brown.
Pray for Brown. But that was not the only injury news. Few updates to the Scotland squad since it was announced last week. So, back row is Luke Crosby from Edinburgh. Really exciting prospect. He's been called up, as well as Matt Smith from Glasgow. Alex Dunbar in the centre and Rob Harley, and that's to cover off Sam Johnson, who picked up another concussion. That guy cannot catch a break around Scotland squad time. Johnny Gray with a shoulder injury. Ryan Wilson being doing too much heavy ball carrying. He's injured his shoulder, as well as Hamish Watson. So what do you guys make of those replacements and those sort of injuries?
I actually think that's unfair, because I think this weekend Ryan Wilson probably had his strongest game for ball carrying.
He did.
I know.
But it's funny.
This is what we do. We are a light entertainment podcast. You know, I can't let an opportunity to slag off Ryan Wilson just fly me by.
Regarding those replacements, I think it kind of must show that the conversion rate of like professional contract in Scotland to international must be one of the highest in the world.
Yeah.
Because they've only got two teams, but like, you know, Matt Smith and Lewis Crosby are definitely exciting prospects, but Matt Smith has not even really played much for Glasgow this season.
No.
And it's the same with the hooker situation. It's just basically like, are you a hooker on the books at Edinburgh or Glasgow? You'll probably get in the squad quite soon.
Yeah. I didn't even know Kev Bryce was like a professional until like a few weeks ago. So
I think he's technically still on a partnership contract with Stirling County, I think. So I worry now that a few more injuries, particularly in the front row, and like one more in the back row, which chances aren't probably going to happen.
We
look really threadbare.
It sort of creeped up a little bit. I remember like a few weeks ago, we were sort of like, oh, Barkley's out. And it was kind of like, obviously that's annoying, but that's fine. And actually, originally it was only for a couple of weeks. And now when you look at that injury list, you're just like, oh, fuck.
I think for a long time, I thought that Kebble and Showman were Scottish. I got too much into Glasgow and Edinburgh. And I was like, it's fine. We've got great front rows.
Yeah.
But no.
I still think that front row of Dell, Nell and McAnally has got enough, especially...
Yeah, it's probably still your first choice front row, really.
Yeah.
I think particularly with Nell really getting that level of form that he had a couple of years back. Yeah. In Europe, he's been incredible as part of that Edinburgh unit. And speaking of Scottish South African imports, Scottish under-20 squad was announced today with such names as Kristen Van Niekerk, and I think the greatest name in Scottish rugby, if not the best name in rugby at the moment, Teddy Leatherbarrow. What a name that is. I'm excited about the Leatherbarrow.
I think he's from Paisley, is he?
Oh, yeah. He's from the Gorbals.
He's from the Leatherbarrows of Paisley. Yeah. What else do you guys make of that squad? A lot of exciting names coming through, some that we've seen before at this level, and obviously a few others. Nathan Chamberlain, one that we've not seen too much of from the Bristol Bears, coming in at 10.
Yeah, well, I think one of the issues for Scotland is potentially the lack of 10s kind of coming through. You know, outside of Hastings, there's not really a Scottish 10 in either of the pro teams. So obviously Ross Thompson at the Hawks, but then you've got Nathan Chamberlain, who's sort of an 18-year-old played a couple of games with Bristol A.
Yeah.
So kind of hoping that he kind of pushes on during the tournament. But, I mean, looks like a relatively good squad. And obviously this is quite a lot of the players that did pretty well at that Scotland, at that under-18 tournament last year.
So yeah.
They're probably going to try and emulate the under-20 side of sort of 2 years ago.
No professional experience as far as I can see, which is the one downside.
Yeah.
Maybe a few of those guys will come into Glasgow and Edinburgh squads. But, yeah, once again, there's sort of the new SRU scouting system seems to have unearthed some people that I'm sure 99% of us, including three of us, have never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
Is Kristen Van Niekerk the Quagga Van Niekerk that we were talking about the last time there was an under-20 squad?
I mean, it plays the same club, and it must be.
All right. I looked him up. He's absolutely massive, though, for a young lad. He's like 105 kgs, almost 2 meters tall, whatever that means in feet and inches, but that's quite a lot, I think.
And another one to keep an eye out for is Ewan Johnson, who plays in the second row for Racing 92, whose dad, we found out today, is a falconer in France.
Professional falconer.
He was giving us some tweets. How cool.
It is a bit scary, though, when you compare it to the England squad, and they can, A, still call him Marcus Smith.
Mm.
They got Ted Hill, who's been in the England squad.
He's had a cap.
And then you've got people like Fraser Dingwall, who
played for Northampton.
Who has played regularly for Northampton this year.
Yeah.
You're like, mmm.
But Scotland beat England under-18s in that group. So
that is true.
Yeah, I mean, the gap between under-18 and under-20 when you've been playing the Premiership versus playing Prem 1 or some lad in the Spanish leagues is probably pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that Spanish club?
Can't pronounce it, don't even try.
Let's just leave it there then. Good. So we'll see how they get on. And the Scotland 7 squad has been named for the next tournament down in Hamilton, New Zealand. A real mixture of absolute stalwarts, like Scott Riddle on his 69th tournament for Scotland. Nice. And a few of the younger lads coming through. They kick off on Saturday evening, 9 p.m. You can check that out against France. Then into Sunday morning, the 20-1 a.m. slot against Kenya, and then 5:20 in the morning against South Africa. Pretty tricky group for the Sevens as they get back to it.
I think South Africa is the main one to be wary of, but I think they can beat the rest.
Yeah, and they all look like they're having a really great time. So
there's a lot of tops off going on, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of like Instagram action going on.
You would, wouldn't you?
I think if you're a professional rugby player, you would do a lot of Instagramming.
Yeah.
You've got to fill the hours, I suppose.
I mean, I do a lot of taps off Instagram.
Nobody needs to see that, and we shouldn't dwell on it.
I mean, my girlfriend doesn't even like seeing it.
Some other news coming out today. Edinburgh Rugby forwards coach, assistant forwards coach Roddy Grant is rumoured to be off to Ulster in what is becoming a fairly well-trodden path for people from Edinburgh. And Watsonians head coach Stevie Laurie is being touted as the replacement. Matt, you've been keeping an eye on this. What is the latest?
Well, yeah, it seems, as you said, the rumour that Johnny Petrie has grabbed Roddy Grant and taken him to Ulster with him. I think Steve Laurie's always been on that sort of, if not fast track, but pathway to become a professional coach. Obviously, he was going to be the head of the Watsonians franchise in the Super Six. But I think it's good to see, like, a young guy who sort of, you know, earned his stripes in the leagues. And I've heard some pretty good things about him, so hopefully he does well at Edinburgh. He's given the shot.
Yeah, and he's obviously, you know, Dan McFarlane, who's obviously head coach at Ulster, wasn't specifically in the Edinburgh setup. He was more like Glasgow and Scotland, but Roddy Grant's obviously made a big enough impression with sort of, I imagine they have been in a lot of situations together. So, no, I reckon it's probably a pretty good move for him. I imagine he'll probably step up to be like forwards coach under Dan McFarlane.
I think he's I mean, he used to coach our second 15 at school.
And Stevie Laurie.
And in the infamous match that we played against each other, Dave, which had about 4 red cards.
This is what Watson's Stu Mell's second
15. He was coaching, and one of our players got injured, and our PE teacher, the coach, had to go and take him to the hospital. So Steve Laurie was in charge.
Yeah.
And at half time, he just got us around and said, "This is Watson's, boys. I'm not your teacher. Do whatever you want." And it was this amazing match, but I think it had 3 or 4 red cards in the end.
That was the game when our friend of the pod, Bruce Green, one of the Stu Mell players, was sitting on top of him and just punching him in the face repeatedly.
Yeah, I didn't know Bruce at the time, but I really loved that moment.
Great times. Well, Stevie Laurie, hopefully he can bring some of that to the Edinburgh forward pack.
Obviously just to balance out Cockerell.
Yeah, exactly.
Cockerell's too meek. They don't have that angry guy in the Edinburgh changing room. That is a real shame. We'll see how that one goes. Nothing confirmed yet, but it all looks like that is going through pending paperwork. Okay, Matt, Tennent's Premiership. Give us the rundown. What's been going on?
Yes, do it. So, first off, Heriot's a big win away at a slightly weakened Melrose side, but great result for them. Glasgow Hawks beat Accies by a point, 15-14, in the basement battle. Ayr, pretty comfortable away victory against Hoyk, 36-12. Watsonians Curry, 29-23 to Curry in a match. I think you were at, Alan.
It was.
And Burham Muir lost heavily and surprisingly at home to Stirling County, 46-28, in a bit of a middle-of-the-table clash. So how was the sort of Edinburgh derby?
Good. Love seeing the Sony Bums lose to Curry as well. As Curry, obviously beating Heriot's last week in the last minute, and then pretty tight win against Watsonians.
Yeah.
Obviously pretty nice for them after they've missed out on a Super 6 contract to beat two of their Edinburgh rivals.
I think they've beaten all the franchise teams now this season.
And I know Thomas Gordon, who's actually now on the bench for Glasgow at the weekend against Connor Boyle, who's the under-20.
Yeah.
Seven. Connor Boyle's pretty like horrible man, just like killing people.
I think he's only 18.
Yeah,
he's only just out of school, Connor Boyle.
No, so Luke's really good. But yeah, so no, nice to get down and check it out.
And speaking of that tennis premiership, there's been a few bits and pieces come out, a bit more detail around the Super Six, hasn't there, Matt?
Yeah, so Gav McCall, QC, has been hired by the SRU to do a big sort of investigation into the league structure next year. And
they need a QC to do an investigation into the league structure.
third party. I know, it's mad, isn't
what?
It? And it seems as if it's not fully confirmed, but that there will be no relegation from the Prem the next season. So the Super 6 teams will go up into their own league, and the remaining four will go into the Championship with the top six from current National League One. And I think as it stands, all the amateur teams from the franchise winners will then drop into National One.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the likes of Kelso, Hamilton, Dundee High, which is a bit of a funny Kirkcaldy against Ayr. Yeah. And obviously they'll be very different teams, but you know that is a pretty big mismatch.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that beds in. I'm glad the QC got in on that.
I mean, notoriously, QCs are very cheap, so...
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm glad they've spent the money.
Yeah.
I'm glad we managed to get through all of that. Okay, so we have a look back at the European results. A really, really successful weekend. Edinburgh, 19-10 at home. Murrayfield had about, 19,000 or something like that?
Yeah, 19.
Pretty decent. See Darcy 19. Graham getting over the...
Hmm? Nah, bro, it was like 11.
Was it?
All right.
I was just trying to do some PR work for Edinburgh Rugby.
Well, you did it wrong.
So Darcy Graham getting in over in the corner. The guy cannot stop scoring tries, and Jakob van der Vaart very good on the boot. Matt, is that Edinburgh's best ever win?
I think, you know, it wasn't like the best match or the best performance, but considering the pressure was on Edinburgh's slight favourites and there was so much at stake, that's just the kind of game where they would have fluffed their lines 2 or 3 years ago. So in that regard, it's, you know, it's massive. Montpellier weren't up to much, but, you know, it's still a huge, huge win.
Montpellier are a bit shit.
Of course they are.
Like, I think Edinburgh did really, really well. And the main thing Edinburgh had to do was just step up in the forwards and just be able to match
absolutely.
Them. And they were able to do that. Literally all Montpellier were doing was just like popping to Picamoles, popping to Kamara. And obviously they're all massive and savage. Yeah. But as long as you can defend, then...
And what do you think that was Cotter's game plan? Or do you think that's just players going into their shell and not trusting each other?
I honestly don't think you can read into any French rugby team. And
Why are they so all over the shop?
Well, I just don't understand when you're like, they've got backs that are so good as well. And the thing is, even when they got it into the backs, there was like a couple of times where like Johan Gustin was like taking the line and they were making breaks. So I think a little bit Montpellier played into Edinburgh's hands.
Yeah, definitely.
And to be fair, the one thing that Edinburgh did do pretty well, I think Dean and Johnson are very good at just like first up tackles.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And there's not a lot of that. They were staying in a few of the centres that early on were trying to get through and they were just holding the line.
Mm.
But no, I think front row and Jamie Ritchie,
the scrum was unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
I mean, having to hook Yanni Duplessis after 30 minutes.
It's incredible.
You know, and you think of that front row as obviously like going to hold its own, but to be that dominant, I don't think I've seen in Edinburgh like a Scottish front row minus the showman do that in a long, long time.
The showman is a freak.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can't wait until he's Scottish. It's going to be so good.
Do you see his little no-look pass? Sort of
I appreciated
ball?
It. It was actually a really bad pass.
Oh, it was rubbish.
Like behind the guy.
But he started doing that against Toulon as well when the game was breaking up a bit. He's like thinking he was a standoff with like silky skills. So.
Absolutely loved it.
But it was interesting after we sort of talked about last week where Edinburgh were getting the ball in Jakob van der Vaart's hands a lot more. They reverted back a little bit to how they played against Edinburgh, and so much more was either being played off Purgos, or I mean, the first 20 minutes were essentially a chess match between Purgos and Peanut.
Yeah.
It was just like people coming off them and then their box kicking and the same way back. So it was interesting that they sort of obviously changed up their game for Montpellier.
Yeah.
Pretty happy about it.
Great result.
top of the group. I mean, I don't want to go back to it, but I did say that they get out of the group at the start of the season.
Did you?
I don't know, but I was a lot more confident than both of you.
No, I remember being very unconfident about
I can imagine
prospects.
Yeah.
I said we could beat Toulon away from home, and you scoffed.
And then we bloody went and did it.
Exactly.
We saw it, and we got tear gassed.
I am a pragmatic gambler.
Yeah.
Okay. And I looked at the odds. I looked at the teams.
Yeah, but I mean, I've known you for quite a long time, and you're quite a bad gambler. You're definitely down on a cumulative net basis. So, you know, I'm going to bet against you every single time.
That's fair.
I mean, Toulon, Montpellier, and a Newcastle that had just finished in the top four of the Premiership.
Yeah.
I think there's two things gone. One has been that Edinburgh have been much better than we thought, and the other three teams have probably been slightly worse than we thought.
Yeah, definitely. And someone like Newcastle season, you know, quite clear, you know, they were going to concentrate in the Premiership quite early on.
And then the emergence of Christine. Only you saw that coming, though, Alan.
I did.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
No nod for him in the European team of the season so far, though.
Got in the final four, and then I tried to push it on Twitter.
It's kept refreshing.
About 10%.
It was an absolute joke, though. Henshaw got it, and he only played like three games.
It's an easy.
It's such an easy,
isn't
just
it?
Like, Henshaw is a good player.
So I reckon if Sexton hadn't played a single game, they'd put him in as an option for 10.
Yeah,
for example.
But Finn's made it. Matter's made it.
Finn was the only Scottish player. Matter was the only player from a Scottish club who got in the best 15 of the Champions Cup, which feels a little unfair.
A bit harsh.
McAnally, Showman could have put up their hands.
There's a lot of the Leinster pack got in, like your Cronin and your Furlong. Again, it's just like name recognition. People are like, I know for a fact that he is a very good player.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I will click him.
Yeah.
And Edinburgh have earned the right to play Munster at Murrayfield. How do you rate their chances for that one?
I mean, on the one hand, Munster have this, you know, the European pedigree and everything, and they are just like a big match team.
Absolutely.
But then, you know, I think that Edinburgh are playing really well. They've beaten some teams this year that, you know, on paper they shouldn't have, or people wouldn't give them a lot of chance of hope. So, and they've played Munster quite a lot before. They're familiar with them. So why not?
Yeah. I mean, I think in the quarters, as long as you're not playing Racing, Leinster and Saracens, you're like, we got a chance here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they're looking to get 30,000 into Murrayfield or something like that. That would make a huge difference.
Pretty sure Cockrell said 50.
Yeah.
50?
Yeah, 50,000.
I think you could get more. You can definitely get more than 30.
Well,
hoping for it.
30 would be the full bottom ring, or just about the full bottom.
The last time they were in the quarterfinals against Toulouse, they got into the 30s, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 37 or something.
Yeah. I think if you get close to 37, I think that's a pretty...
I didn't get 40. I think Edinburgh.
I think it depends how well the Six Nations go.
Yeah, that's true. How many of the sort of the part-time rugby fans can they bring in?
Yeah.
Beyond the Six Nations.
Yeah. Good point.
But no, I think, you know, with someone like Munster, like they know Munster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were pretty close to beating them in Thomond Park last year, in essentially like the quarterfinals of the Pro 14.
That's true.
So,
I suppose Edinburgh's like fortunes are quite closely linked to Scotland, not just on the commercial side, but on injuries. There's so many of those big name frontline Edinburgh players are going to be playing for Scotland. They're first choice picks for Scotland, and if they go down injured, that has a massive impact on Edinburgh. Whereas Munster, yes, there's quite a lot of Ireland internationals in there, but they can probably cover it off because Leinster make up 2/3 of that Ireland squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think again with Edinburgh, McAnally goes down. It's such a huge gap between that second place person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's pretty good depth in other positions, though.
Yeah.
In the pack, at least.
No, definitely.
I think you're right. And what about Glasgow? 38-19. They lost to Saris in the end down at Allianz Park. Tries from Seymour Price and that man, Ryan Wilson, ball carrying over the line, to be fair to him. They have earned the right to go back to Allianz Park in the quarterfinals. Absolutely devastated. It was an awesome first half to watch, though, wasn't it?
It was. It was sort of like a real like sort of mix of emotions. Sort of, were they like 12-0 down after like 10 minutes? And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. And then they obviously came back and were winning, I think, 19-17 or something at one point.
Yeah.
Where they were just getting a bit of quick ball and managing, you know, for that one try, obviously Sam Johnson threw that pretty great pass.
Oh, it was such a nice pass.
And like Ali Price and just some of the forwards were managing to just find gaps kind of round the corners of rucks.
Ali Price returned to the sort of form we were hoping to see in when he comes back to the Scotland squad.
Yeah, looked lively.
Yeah, looked sharp.
Really good.
I mean, at the end of the day, Glasgow had were hit much more by injuries than Saracens were in that match.
Well, that was my worry, that you looked at that pack and you thought against a full strength Saracens A, it's going to struggle.
Yeah.
But And, like, you know, in the end, that I think that told. Yeah. Know, guys like Chris Osara, for example, like, you know, putting it there at ultimate level but can't really compete. But yeah, it was just nice to see Glasgow at least in a few bits clicking, which they haven't really done this season. And guys like Hogg and Seymour, you know, the big name players, doing really well. I still think Hastings struggled.
Yeah, no, he did a little bit.
Like, you know, it's probably improved slightly, but...
Especially we started to chase the game a bit in the second half.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was a big impact that Gray went off at halftime and then Wilson went off after 48 minutes.
Didn't Gray go off in the quarterfinal that year?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As well.
Yeah, I think he did.
Doesn't like it up him down there, does he?
Yeah, I know.
I tell you, stepped up. The front row in open play were all pretty good.
I haven't thought the nuke was quite good.
The nuke was good until about 55 minutes.
and then he's dead.
And then he stayed for another 15 minutes, and he was a liability. It wasn't even walking. Like, it was literally just like slowly like crawling to like the rocks. I thought, you know, as you said, for what that team was, that was a really good performance.
And hopefully a few guys come back as well for the quarterfinal that can just, I don't know, just add a bit more in terms of sort of leadership and belief, those senior players. Yeah. But I think it's going to be another difficult, difficult match.
Do you think similar scoreline in the quarterfinals?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
Maybe a touch closer, but it just feels to me that they can hang on for 60 minutes, but that last 20 when Sarri start to ring the changes and there's just so much quality coming off the bench as well.
Yeah, it's the depth. It's the depth on the bench, like Kevin Bryce v. Tolofua. It's a pretty big gap.
Yeah,
And even like Matt Smith, you like Callum Clark. Like Callum Clark's like had like England caps.
Big Willie Skelton coming on as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Glasgow would kill for a Will Skelton type player.
No, it would. But although I do think that Fraser Brown and Callum Gibbons specifically changed that pack.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Entirely. Two really good examples.
So, but yes, I think you're right in terms of what happened in the next game. It'll probably be a similar story to what we've seen here.
Yeah, I think it was quite worrying from a Scotland perspective seeing Billy Vunipola back up to full tilt and just that scrum where they just sort of moved it forward and then he just picked it up and just sort of rumbled over everybody.
Yeah. I mean, Itoji was probably...
Oh, Itoji was very, fantastic. Very
good. Annoyingly good.
I don't really like him, but he's so goddamn good.
He is really good. Got to give him his dues.
Got to give him his dues. So we will see how that goes. Let's just pop European rugby away and then we can focus on the Six Nations for the next few weeks. So we have a little bit of a break with a quiz from Alan and then we've got an interview with Glasgow Centre, Stafford McDowell, and then we'll finish up by looking forward to the games at the weekend. Take it away, Alan.
All right. Well, so obviously a lot of Six Nations press getting chucked around. So we're going to have a Six Nations and there's like a little ad hoc bit about YouGov stats getting chucked in.
YouGov the polling company.
Turns out that they actually have done a thing on Scottish rugby fans.
Oh, cool.
Well, they've polled kind of rugby
YouGov
fans.
YouGov polled Scottish rugby fans.
Yeah, it's one of their like things that they test for.
Amazing.
So we'll start with the Six Nations. I'm going to kick it off easy. Real easy.
Are you sure?
I want you to give me the Six Nations captain.
Oh, hold on.
I mean, it's a real who's who of legends. And then for part two, I want you to give me the six Nations coaches. We're just easing you in. Of the six captains, where does Laidlaw sit in terms of number of appearances for his country? So we're not including Lions appearances, just as an FYI. So just country appearances. And then your fourth question is, of the six captains, where does Laidlaw sit in terms of tries?
For his country. For Scotland.
I'm going for quite a punchy, unfair answer. But
And then your last question is, where does Laidlaw rank in age of the six captains?
Younger, older.
This is going to be a really tough quiz if you've got the first question wrong.
That's a good point.
So moving on to YouGov, the polling company.
Yep.
Yeah. So during their polling process, they obviously ask people who, if they like Scottish rugby for some reason.
So who are they polling? The whole of the UK?
Yeah, there's like a cross section of the UK.
Okay.
And for the people who specifically like the Scottish National Rugby Union team,
yeah,
they then look to see what other stuff they like.
So it's like correlations. So
it's called sorted by Z score correlation intensity. Oh, yeah. And I want you to tell me, for the next three, which one of the three answers most correlates with Scottish rugby union fans.
Okay.
So we'll start with an easy one. You got favourite biscuit. You got a penguin bar. You got a caramel bar. And you got a chocolate digestive.
What do you mean a caramel? What do you mean like a
tonics caramel?
A tonics caramel, yeah.
Surely.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm going for that.
Who is their favourite football manager? Is it Neil McCann, Terry Butcher, or Craig Levein?
No way.
Where the hell do you find this information?
And then your last one is favorite comedy. For comedies they've pulled.
Okay.
Because I'm assuming Still Game would be higher than
Yeah, okay.
Fine.
So we're going with Mock the Week, 8 out of 10 Cats, and I can't think of a third comedy.
So it's one of those.
It's two. One of those two.
Okay, so Mock the Week or 8 out of 10 Cats. That was really good.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Well done.
So going back to the start, Dave, give me your six captains.
Laidlaw, Wynne-Jones.
Yeah.
Farrell.
Yeah.
Garrido.
Yeah.
Parise.
Yeah.
And Rory Best.
All correct.
Got exactly
Hanny,
the same.
You got it?
Yeah.
Hanny, give me your six coaches.
Warren Gatland.
Correct.
Joe Schmidt.
Yeah.
I can see you, Dave.
I'm ticking them off.
Eddie Jones.
Yeah.
Gregor Townsend.
Yeah.
Conor O'Shea.
Yeah.
And Jacques Brunel.
Brunel is the name I could not remember. So I got 5 out of 6.
In terms of appearances for your country, where does Laidlaw sit on that list of six captains?
Fifth.
I said fifth as well.
Gone for fifth. Laidlaw sits fourth.
Fourth. Behind Alan Wynne-Jones, Parise, and
Best.
Parise 134. Wynne-Jones.
Oh my God, 134.
Wynne-Jones 120. Best 113. Laidlaw 66. Farrell is 65.
But I see.
That has four Lions.
Four Lions caps, I see.
And Garrido is 63.
Interesting. Yeah,
Parise's. I mean, he's going to make it to the World Cup. It's going to be his fifth World Cup.
That's really
five.
Curious.
Yeah, because he was at 03.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
That was in the quiz a few weeks ago.
It was. Yeah. And I did realise, I only found out this week, that he's also got one drop kick for Italy.
I think I knew that.
It was quite cool.
Yeah.
Where does Laidlaw sit in terms of tries?
I've gone last.
Gone last?
Yeah.
Last is correct.
Ah, there was always going to be one that was last, wasn't there?
So interestingly, Parise's top again on 15. Farrell, Wynne-Jones and Best are tied on 9. Garrido's got 8 and Laidlaw's got 4.
Only 4?
Wow.
I know.
I didn't know Best had scored so many tries for Ireland.
No, I know.
I mean, he's played so many games.
I suppose a lot of hooker throws in back of the line.
Yeah.
The mall. Yeah. Flop. Back of the mall. Here we go.
And Laidlaw in age. Where does he sit, Dave?
Fifth.
Going for fifth?
Going for fourth.
Fourth is correct.
Oh, come on.
So you've got Farrell, obviously, youngest, 27. Garrido, 32. Laidlaw and Wynne-Jones are 33. But Laidlaw is slightly younger.
Oh.
Parise is 35. Rory Best, 36.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I did not know that.
He had his first cap for Ireland in 2005.
That's mad.
That's insane. The longevity of these captains is mad.
But that's not as if he's got a cap at... He must have got his first cap at 23 then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's not as if he got it like a really early age.
Yeah.
He's been going like an 18-year-old Brian Driscoll or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so Parise was like 0-2 or 3.
Yeah,
18. Like 18, 19.
Yeah.
Right. What are Scotland fans' favourite biscuit?
Surely a tonics caramel.
I was wondering if it was a trick, but I've gone for the Tunnocks caramel wafer.
It's the Tunnocks caramel.
Obviously the Tunnocks caramel.
Super high correlation.
That doesn't surprise me, because they are fantastic.
What's your favourite football manager?
I went Neil McCann.
I've gone Craig Levein.
Terry Butcher.
Why is it?
Why?
He's coached Motherwell, yeah. Park Thistle, Inverness Kai Thistle, Hibs. He's got a broad spectrum. Wow,
and Neil McCann. And
never pissed off the old firm.
That's a good point. That is really
true.
That's a good point.
She didn't thought about
But are the old firm Scottish rugby supporters? Probably not.
I know, but Terry Butcher's loved by all.
That's incredible.
He's nailing Glasgow with Motherwell. He's nailing Inverness. He's got Hibs through Edinburgh.
Well done, Terry. Congrats.
Look, Terry Butcher seems like a good guy, I think.
Terry the Butcher.
That's why he's got a seat next to Princess Anne in Murrayfield.
And when I say old firm, it turns out that he actually did play for Rangers now, look at it. So.
Okay.
And then lastly, favourite TV show?
I went Mock the Week.
Yeah, same.
8 of 10 cats.
8 of 10 cats.
Scottish rugby fans love Jimmy Carr. That is a fact.
It needs to be the occasional Scot on Mock the Week. I can't think of a Scot that's been on 8 out of 10 cats.
Like, it's just
Frankie Boy used to be on Mock the Week.
It's just Jimmy Carr. They love Jimmy Carr.
That is really interesting statistics.
Yeah.
Well done, mate. That was really niche, but excellent.
So everyone's just sitting there, a cup of tea, having a Tunnocks caramel. They've paused 8 out of 10 cats to listen to the podcast. Good for them.
Remembering how much they love Terry Butcher.
Yeah.
There's a framed photo of Terry Butcher on the wall, above the mantelpiece.
On their bedside table. It's night, Terry. All right. That, Alan, every week... You really
coming in.
It's creative.
Well, every week you plumb sort of, I want to say new depths, but sort of like of weirdness.
To reach new standards. Reach new heights.
Thank you very much again for that. Alan, quiz-wise, we have had a chat earlier on tonight with Glasgow centre Stafford McDowell. We caught him just before he was making his dinner. So we've got about 5 or 6 minutes with him looking ahead to the Ospreys game this weekend. Here he is.
All right, delighted to be joined online tonight by Glasgow centre Stafford McDowell. Stafford, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks.
What's been going on today? Prep for the Ospreys game?
We said captain's run today, so in this morning for captain's run, and then just waiting for the game now.
Decent, and picked again in the centres with Nick Gregg. You've played with him a couple of times this year, haven't you?
Yeah, I've played with Nick a couple of times now, and really enjoy playing with him. He's a great guy to play inside of, give you a lot of chat, and enjoy playing with him.
Absolutely great. And how's it been? How's preparation been this week? Slightly different, obviously, with a lot of the Scotland guys being away and then coming back mid-week. How does that affect your preparation?
We obviously had a bit of a smaller group, kind of Monday, Tuesday. Probably looked back at the Saracens game a bit more those couple of days. And then backing on Wednesday, and the Scotland guys were back in. Started looking towards Ospreys, and managed to get a bit of clarity done on Wednesday, obviously, with those guys back in, having the full squad.
Class, and what were the main sort of takeaways in the room when you were reviewing the Saracens game from last weekend?
I think just obviously a lot of the guys that played in that game were away with Scotland, so probably just that the opportunities were there that we didn't take, especially with 10 minutes to go in the game. It was 24-19, we were very much in the game, it could have gone either way, and just looking at what we could have done from that point on to overcome and turn the result around.
And obviously it's been a great season for you so far. Did you expect to get as much game time as you have? And how have you found the sort of transition to, you know, the full professional game?
I think I definitely didn't expect to get to be involved as much as I have been. Obviously was involved there a lot at the start of the season. It's obviously a big step up going physicality-wise, and the speed of the game is obviously a lot quicker. But obviously those games were there, and obviously in under-20s in the summer do prepare you. Did pretty well for the step up, but it's obviously a lot quicker and boys are a lot bigger and it is quicker and more physical.
And how did it feel to get obviously your full-time professional contract in early December?
Yeah, obviously it's a dream come true. It's something of, obviously as a kid growing up, I've always wanted to become a professional rugby player, so when it did happen, it was, like I say, it was a dream come true, and to manage to get a couple of games in during that autumn international period was good.
Do you want to give us just a bit of a background of how you came to obviously getting that professional contract, both sort of obviously through school and then with AIR at the club level?
Yeah, so I was at my local school for most of my school career, played rugby for Stewart Tree. And then my last 2 years, I moved up to Edinburgh and went to Merchant Castle. Played Scotland under-18s when I was up there. And then I came home after school and worked at home for a year on the farm at home. And that was my first under-20s year. And my first season were there. Then second under-20s year, I was Stage 3 Academy. And then I've transferred into full pro.
And obviously your first year in the under-20s was sort of the most successful year, I think, the under-20s in the history of the tournament. How does it feel to see a lot of those young guys like, you know, Kinghorn, Graham, Ferguson kind of breaking into that Scotland squad?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It gives you a lot of kind of motivation if those are guys that you've played with.
Yeah. And obviously you talked a bit about how obviously it's been your dream to get the professional contract. Who would you like look up to as a centre? Maybe not domestically, don't want to sort of cause any issues, but maybe sort of internationally.
I used to be a big fan of Brian O'Driscoll when I was younger. He was someone I watched a lot when I was younger, and then a lot of the Kiwi guys, kind of Sonny Bill Williams, guys like that, man, on it. People are always kind of the youngster when you're watching Super Rugby and watching international rugby. They're always guys you watch and look up to.
Definitely, and is the aim, without sort of getting ahead of yourself, to push for Scotland squads? Is that something you hope to achieve in the near future?
It's always something you hope to achieve, but at the moment I'm just trying to get a game at a time, and any chance I get to play for Glasgow is one that I'll look to take and just get some more of that kind of experience under my belt first.
Right, and we tweeted about it recently, a few messages from, I think, a few of your pals. First question, why have you got the nickname Stiffmeister? Are you allowed to say?
I don't know where that really came from. I think some boys say because I look like Stifler from American Pie, but I don't really know where that came, but I think someone just said it one day and it's just kind of stuck from then, so unfortunately I think I'm stuck with it now.
It's a good, vague politician's answer. Like,
yeah, well done. and I think, it was Robbie Smith that asked the question, who I think is on the bench for Glasgow this weekend as well, and he said, what are we having for dinner tonight? Which I think a lot of people want to know. So what are you cooking something up for him?
Yeah, well, me and Robbie are flatmates. I think it's pretty much we heat us tonight. So.
Nice.
This question we always ask our guests. So from sort of Glasgow and under 20 days, who has been your worst roommate?
I had a pretty bad experience with Sam Yawayama one time when we played the Club 15, and he actually got knocked out in that game. And from his concussion, he just kept asking me the same questions over and over again. I was not remembering what had happened to him, so that probably been my worst experience.
And one other question, when you had the under-20s in Georgia, what's the nightlife like in Tbilisi? Because we're eyeing up a little trip there for the sort of pre-season warm-up matches. Sorry, the World Cup pre-season.
We weren't actually allowed out of the hotel too much in Tbilisi.
Oh, really?
So I can't really comment on anything outside of the hotel. It's a lovely place.
Another great vague politician's answer. I like it.
I think it's great stuff. And you've obviously got a career beyond rugby if you need it. Listen, mate, we'll let you... we don't want to keep you away from your fajitas for too long. So we'll let you go, and best of luck for the weekend.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
So a bit of fajitas for Stafford McDowell tonight. Sounds pretty decent.
The Stiffmeister.
The Stiffmeister. What? He's got, seriously, great political sort of nous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just straight bat. All
said
those
said a
questions.
Couple of lines, but I don't know. What was he trying to say?
So unmatched. Strong and stable from Stafford there.
Exactly.
Very, very good. Well, let's start with Glasgow Ospreys, the game he was chatting about there. Glasgow have released the team. Quite a lot of the Scotland players have been released back. Lads, what do you make of this one?
I mean, I think it should be a win at home. I think there's enough quality. The likes of, you know, Matawalu in there in the backs, Lee Jones, Rui Jackson, a pretty good back three. And then you've even got Cummings and Swinson in the second row as well. I just think that's kind of... And Rob Harley as well. I just think that's enough experience and quality to get Glasgow over the line.
Yeah. I mean, I know... Was it? They've still got, like, Sam Davies. He doesn't seem to really get a look in for Wales anymore. But actually, they don't... Ospreys have lost quite a few players, and they don't have the same depth
No.
that that Glasgow do. And I actually think it's going to be a pretty easy bonus point win.
Friday Night Lights at Scotstoun as well. Glasgow are pretty formidable at home.
It'd be good to see as well, as we mentioned there, Robbie Smith on the bench for his, I think, his debut. He might have had one appearance before. But good to see him get a little run about. And interesting to see that both Alex Allen and Jimmy Batty are involved for Glasgow. Considering, I presume one of them is going to be the on the bench for Scotland against Italy.
Surely it's going to, surely Batty, you would think, is the would be your backup loose head behind Dell if that's going to be your starter.
Well, Batty's not played at all this season, really.
Yeah, I feel like Allen's been getting more game time.
A wee bit more, but not much. It's not the ideal situation.
Yeah,
I just think I just find it a bit weird that they're playing both of those players in this match.
That is the exact reason why they're playing,
to get
they've
of,
not had enough games.
Yeah, possibly seems a bit of a risk, but maybe they do that sort of thing.
I think Ollie Kebble was due to be playing, but he's come down.
Good point.
He's playing a little bit. He's feeling a little bit ill, so he would have been there. So I expect one of them probably was due to stay with the Scotland camp.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, I think even in the back line, like, I know Brandon Thompson has on the whole kind of stepped up and been fine for Glasgow.
Unbeaten Brandon, you mean?
When starting.
Obviously, there's the little star next to it every time I say that.
Yeah.
That sort of clarifies the statement.
Vitravisa.
And, you know, there's an argument to say that Nick's a bit harsh on Nick Grigg from a Scotland perspective.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
You know, he is probably ahead of Hugh Jones in the Glasgow team, or he is ahead of Hugh Jones in the Glasgow team.
And which makes me think that Chris Harris is still, like, you know, the guy that they're going to pick as back sub, right? Or your sort of replacement centre.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because he can play wing as well.
That is the great thing. The great thing about Chris Harris is his versatility.
But that's about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Nick Grigg has, like, done a lot more in a Scotland shirt and a Glasgow shirt than Chris Harris has done in his...
I would be more worried of having Grigg on the wing, though.
Yeah, but I suppose you wouldn't pick him for that. But yeah,
I don't think put Kinghorn on the bench covers 10 to 15. See you later. So, but yeah, I think there's enough people there, like Rui Jackson, Nico,
Nick Frisby, who according to Warriors Weekly is in the leadership group for Glasgow.
Did hear that. And Brandon Thompson for when Scottish players
well
are
yeah I think that was the yeah. really key point,
plumbing the depths of that leadership group.
Yeah, you bet. You're someone like when Scotland players go away, Callum Gibbons must just be like, when do I get my residency?
I know, this is such bullshit. I'm really jealous. It's like, Ryan Wilson, can I come?
Yeah.
And then the other matches, Edinburgh against
the Kings. They're down. The Kings. There's not a lot going. There's not a lot of communication about who's down there, who's not there. There was three photos put up on the Edinburgh Twitter today, which showed us that the return of the prodigal son is due. The photo of the back of Daryl Marfo's head, telling us he is in South Africa.
I mean, it is a real distinctive lid.
It's excellent.
It's a beacon of hope for Scottish rugby.
And there's a photo of Magnus Bradbury.
Yeah, Bradbury
chucking a ball around.
That's good news. Good.
And I think Crosby chucked up an Instagram story.
Oh, really?
That he was in Port Elizabeth. So he's
probably with the team then, yeah.
Yeah.
That
would make sense. I mean, I realised that Luke Crosby was with the team.
What about Luke Crosby doing in Port
Elizabeth? It's on holiday. But I think that should be, I mean, barring another complete disaster like Glasgow had, but that should be a bonus point win for Edinburgh.
Yeah, it's Thursday night, so we haven't seen the Edinburgh team yet, but you've got to think that they're going to
have enough quality.
Although, obviously, after bumped into Doohan van der Merwe on Sunday.
Yes,
on a little walk, and he isn't taking the trip out.
So the big names have been... Some big
so
names
there is
have been
even a couple of non-Scot big names that...
Yeah, yeah.
Cockerell's like, we're better than Kings.
The Greatest Showman's there. I saw a photo of him in one of like the business class beds, and his body was like coming out the side of it. He was like lying down, and he's just like this huge lump of a man. He's like too big for the business class bed.
That's fair.
He's a beautiful man.
Is he a beautiful man?
Yeah, there's long locks and everything.
Fair.
Okay. Well, you know, each to their own. I don't know where to
on
go.
That
with
note.
That.
On that note. That.
On that note.
Let's finish off with some quick predictions and then we're done, I would say, lads. Give me a Glasgow Ospreys score, Alan.
31-14.
Oh, lovely. Matt?
25-10.
42-5.
Bloody hell.
I've just got big. Go.
Fair enough.
I reckon they're going to really rip loose. Edinburgh versus the Kings. Alan, coming to
you. I'm going to say it's like actually a bit more tight than you think. Something like 27-22.
Yeah.
I think Kings might be like ahead at halftime, and then Cockerell just like rips them a new one.
I think it'll be like 42-31.
That's going to be a classic.
Kings always play. They're always going to concede at least that.
The great thing I love about these predictions is if they're wrong, we just like never go back to them. So it doesn't say what you want.
Yeah. Who's keeping track of this?
Yeah.
I mean, I think obviously Edinburgh are away, but they might feel a bit at home because this is the only stadium they'll go to which gets like as few supporters at home as they do.
equally cavernous.
Exactly. Equally cavernous stadium. So they're used to that. So I think, they'll canter home.
I thought you were making a joke about how many South Africans there are in the Edinburgh team.
It's another good joke.
It's like Bandersnatch. You can choose which joke you listen to and record it twice.
What?
Black Mirror reference.
I never watched Black Mirror.
Sorry, I thought it was more...
I like the reference, but... Than that.
No.
Yeah, let's cut that out.
Anyway.
Should we stop now?
Yeah, let's go.
And that's why they needed to make 3 other Scottish rugby podcasts. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.